Hey there, my name is Cassie Torresillas, and 8 years ago, I launched my own online graphic design studio and booked a one-way ticket to travel the world in pursuit of my own freedom-filled life. I now own a multi-million dollar online business, The Bucket List Bombshells, teaching other women how to do the same, alongside my best friend, co-founder, and podcast co-host, Shay Brown. Around here, we believe that your crazy dreams aren't crazy, and that it's time for you to start creating the life and career that you dream about too. Whether you want to travel and work remotely, or simply just want to be your own boss, it's possible to live out your passion and purpose without just scraping by. We know that this path isn't always easy to navigate though, so we're here to help you. From making a career change, starting and growing your own business, balancing life and business, and most importantly, pursuing your own freedom-filled life. Get ready for real, relatable stories and advice on your journey towards something more. We serve it up BFF style, so pour yourself that third cup of coffee and let's dive in. Welcome to the Freedom-Filled Life Podcast. Welcome everybody back to another episode of the Freedom Filled Life Podcast. I'm your host, Shay, one of the founders of Bucket List Bombshells, and I'm super excited to be sitting down with our guest and former Bucket List Bombshells student, Shaya, today. So Shaya is a world traveler just like us, just like many of you listening. She spent a lot of time in Guatemala, and so we're going to be talking about her travels there. And specifically, we're going to be talking about the upcoming retreat that she is hosting in Guatemala. So Shaya is one of our Scale with Purpose Mastermind members, and we recently got to meet in person on our Mastermind retreat, which is so fun. And I thought it would be such a great topic because I know there's a few of you out there that have been having conversations with me around launching a retreat. So I thought, why not bring in Shaya, who is the founder and creative director of Virtual Balance, a website design and marketing services agency. And also, she is a retreat creator and host. So today we're going to be talking about the ins and outs of creating, selling, and hosting a destination retreat. So let's dive into it. Now, hello, Shaya. Welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Hi, Shay. Hi, everyone listening. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
I love it. I also, for those listening, a little fun tidbit, Shaya and I clearly share the same name, and we are also both Canadian, and I think that's so fun. So just a little tidbit there, and hopefully you'll be able to tell us apart on the call. I'm just teasing, but before we dive into your full story, can you tell us a little bit about the business that you own and the services that you're currently offering?
Yeah, so Virtual Balance is a creative design and marketing agency. We primarily work with businesses in the health and wellness industry, but you know, we do serve anyone that comes to us and wants a beautiful website and to improve their marketing. So most of our biggest service would be website design. We also offer branding, copywriting, digital marketing, so blogging and email marketing, and a search engine optimization. Those are like a broad range of services that we package together in different types of options and payment plans for all of our clients. And most recently now, I'm starting to add retreats back into my product ladder, which is super exciting.
I'm super excited to chat all things expanding your product ladder, something that I've got to personally witness as you're doing that. So quick cue though, how it brought around this passion for adding retreats, because it does seem a little bit outside of, say, website design and marketing mm-hmm. services. And so I'm sure there's listeners curious, like, where did this idea come to you from?
Yeah, so I've wanted for a long time to add retreats back into my business. And I always thought it was kind of like a weird thing to mix with design and marketing. Like, you don't see a lot of, you know, website designers hosting retreats. But I'll take you guys back a little bit and share a little bit of my entrepreneurial story. So before I started my first business, I was working a corporate job in the hospital. I was in health records. And not really happy there, which a lot of people listening I know can relate to not loving their full-time jobs. And that's why we start businesses, right? So I was first passionate about health and wellness, and I love to travel. So I spent all of my vacation time going backpacking on different trips. I spent about 2 months in India where I did my yoga teacher training. And I also studied holistic nutrition on the side when I was working in the hospital. So I had all of these skills and a desire to travel, and kind of decided then I was going to start my health and wellness business, teaching yoga and holistic nutrition and combining that with travel. So I was hosting a lot of wellness retreats. I did some in country, like weekend retreats and day retreats around my city and province and in Canada. And then I hosted my first retreat abroad in Nicaragua just before the pandemic. And it was the most amazing experience I had ever done. And I always wanted to host another retreat. After I quit my job at the hospital and I went full time in my health and wellness business for about a year. And I realized like I needed to learn how to work online. And so this is when I discovered the Bucket List Bombshells. And I actually bought your courses to teach myself how to do my own website design, email marketing, branding, like in my own business and my health and wellness business. I didn't really have the idea of like offering these things as a service. And the more that I did it in my own business, I kind of fell in love with the design and marketing. And I had a lot of peers in the industry asking me like, how did you do your website? How do you run your socials and your email marketing? And I was kind of helping people for free until I realized, you know what? I really enjoy doing this. And I saw like a need there to start a second business. So I thought this will be a side business, but it took off so well, Virtual Balance, that is. And so actually nutrition and yoga became a side business hobby, which is why I want to bring that back into my design and marketing business. But Virtual Balance was launched then in 2019 and has been going strong ever since. We're almost 4 years now, and it grew from just myself to now I have a team of 5 plus myself is 6. And we're offering all the different types of services that I mentioned in the beginning. And our niche is within health and wellness because that just made sense based on my background. So that's where I'm at now. And I missed so much. Like I said, the hosting my retreat in Nicaragua was my most favorite thing I've ever done. And I always wanted to bring like retreats and health and wellness back into design and marketing, but I didn't really know how to make that happen. I had like thoughts about it would be like a weird mix. And especially during COVID, I saw there was kind of a need for it. There was like a lot of people desiring connection and travel, especially now like post-COVID. So retreats are really popular right now and picking up. And I thought, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to host, I'll just advertise, I'll start a wait list that I'm going to do a wellness retreat for entrepreneurs. And we've had a good amount of success so far. And it's kind of a passion project for me now. So I'm just really excited about it.
I love that. I love that when our businesses give us the opportunity to explore other passions outside of just the products and services that we offer. So I think it's so fun to see you adding this on, and you are doing something that you're just so excited to do. And it's just bringing you so much joy. And I'm excited to talk more right now about how you designed that and how you brought that into your life. So when you mm-hmm. decided to create a retreat, how did you go about choosing the topics, the activities, as well as your target audience?
Yeah. So I actually have a freebie for you guys, for your audience, which is on my website. We can link in the show notes. It's virtualbalance.com/bucketlist. And it's a retreat planning guide for you guys that I put together, basically breaking down like all my steps that I go through when I'm starting to plan a new retreat. And we kind of go through some of this stuff in there. So definitely grab that if you want to work through it. But I like to begin with a brain dump of like bigger picture ideas. So think of your attendees and like the journey you want to take them on from starting point to outcome. So like, how are they feeling? What are they experiencing before and when they sign up for your retreat? And then what's the outcome that you want them to feel or experience after the retreat? And then when you have those two pieces of like the starting point and the outcome that you want them to achieve, you can start to craft the experiences and the theme and topics and activities to do in the retreat that are going to help bridge that gap and like get them there to the outcome. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. Absolutely. And so when you're thinking about the is it activities or is it workshops? What type of retreats do you host? Because I know you attended our mastermind retreat and we did a workshop session. So we really took our teaching style and packaged it together into a way that we were giving you basically bite-sized trainings throughout our time together. And then time to implement and digest. So our result obviously was very focused on what can we do to move your business forward. So when with your retreat, can you talk to me a little bit about, is it activities or workshops? What are we doing when it comes to helping someone decide what to offer in their retreat?
Yeah. So I think it can like vary and depend greatly, like based on like your services, your type of business, your audience. Like there's so many different types of retreats out there. But like to use mine for an example, like it's going to be a wellness retreat for entrepreneurs. And at first I thought I wanted to do, because my main target audience in my business now is health and wellness businesses. So at first I was going to do like wellness retreats for health and wellness entrepreneurs, but I also work with and have a lot of people in my community who are not health and wellness entrepreneurs, but they are entrepreneurs and they work online and they have an in-person business and they're just like lacking the community and connection. So this would be like the starting points that I thought about in their journey, or that I learned from market research and just like talking to my audience, right? Especially the people working online, like during COVID, like lacking community, kind of like starting to lose excitement and motivation in their business, or they're stressed out, overwhelmed, working all the time. They give, do, especially in the health and wellness industry. I see that a lot. Like people give so much and they don't take time to fill up their own cup. So that was like the idea that started this. And I was like, I can totally like do a retreat, like an amazing retreat would be like a solution for this, right? Especially traveling abroad, like to a place like Guatemala, it's such a high vibe environment, and making it just entrepreneurial focused instead of like for health and wellness entrepreneurs. So we can have all different types of entrepreneurs, I found is really motivating and inspiring as well, because we can learn so much from other entrepreneurs that have different types of businesses than us. Like a lot of times we try to group ourselves with people who have similar businesses as us to learn from them, which I think is also amazing. But since I've moved back home and I'm now in my like local community where I was living away for like 4 or 5 years and just moved back home, and I've been interacting with a lot of local businesses who they have completely different businesses as me. And I learn so much about them in terms of like their team and their operations and finances. So I just wanted to gather like entrepreneurs in general who want to feel that connection, that motivation again, get inspired by like being around other entrepreneurs, because you know we always like motivate each other and get each other like feeling like pumped up. So that's kind of like the journey that I want to take them on through the retreat. We're also going to have a photo shoot included, which I always feel when you get a new photo shoot done is like also very inspiring and motivating and exciting. And then a spa day as well, I want to have included just to help them chill out, relax, give back to themselves, reflect, slow down and think, because we are always like, go, go, go. And this is when you have like some of your best ideas come to you, right? When you're not in the go and the do, and you just need to relax sometimes. Right. And that's when you have big ideas come to you. So I wanted a spa day included. We're going to do yoga, healthy food. So it is like entrepreneurial focus, but with like a little bit of a wellness twist. So that's kind of like the journey that that I'm planning to take people on through my retreat. But yeah, really just thinking of like your target audience and where they're at, and then where you want them to end up, and what types of things you can do in the retreat to help them get there. So it could be workshops, it could be like activities like yoga, or doing a spa day, or maybe you go on like a cultural tour, or you you know, want them to connect with nature, so you take them out to like a farm, or like there's so many things that you can do. And I think the location plays a big part as well. Like for example, if you were hosting like, I don't know, like a psychedelic mushroom retreat, you wouldn't want to go to like, you wouldn't want to be like downtown in Toronto, right? You want to be probably like somewhere in nature, right? So having that in mind, like the type of the theme of your retreat, keeping the location in mind as well.
Yes.
That supports that.
Yeah, that was so helpful. I was curious, you know, how did you go about deciding on a country and venues, and kind of to bounce off of what you were just saying, is there any kind of general advice or tips or tricks for basically choosing a location, and that might be out of your home country, and what does that look like? And then booking a venue, like what type of venues should we be looking at when we're hosting retreats?
Yeah. So again, like this really varies. I feel like I'm saying that, but
no, of course,
like for our retreat with the Scale with Purpose Mastermind in Mexico, it was very small and intimate. We had an Airbnb, a beautiful, like a beach Airbnb. It was lovely, but it was like just us, and we didn't have like staff coming in, you know, and that was like more of an intimate experience, which was lovely. Yeah. But maybe if you have like a bigger group, and you don't want to be taking care of like, you know, prepping meals or things like that, then maybe you need like, a venue that's going to have like, a housekeeper or a chef or like some meals included or something like that. But when you're booking abroad, it's always nice. I always find it's really nice if you can go there. Like if you've ever been on a trip and you're like, well, I really love this place, like maybe you consider maybe hosting a retreat there because you've been there before and you love it and it has like a special meaning to you, right? Also, if you talk with venues abroad and like let them know like you're a retreat host and you want to bring a group there, sometimes they give you a discount to go on a trip there yourself first. To check it out. Or if you pay your full price, we're for you to go and check it out. And then when you go on the trip, you get to go for free. Like there's lots of different things venues will help you out with as well when it's abroad. But doing lots of research as well and just like asking your audience, like where would you guys love to travel to? And keeping like your length of time in mind as well. Like if you're only hosting a 3 or 4 day retreat, and you're like in North America, you probably don't want to take people to like Japan for like, you know, 3 days, right? Like that would be like a 10 day retreat probably, you know? So distance is important as well with like length of time.
And I just want to speak to that as well, because you kind of brought up the location of Mexico and us hosting the retreat there. And we are so familiar and we love Mexico, specifically Playa del Carmen. Cassie and I have lived there on and off many times. I was just recently living there for an extended period of time, and it holds such a special place in our hearts. And so we wanted you guys to experience that. You got to experience the you know, the cafe that Cassie and I met at. And we did that because thinking of our target audience, you were all BB students. And so you've seen our journey since we started our business in Mexico. And so we wanted to bring you there, and just we feel so connected to that spot. And so it was really fun for us. So going back to picking a place that you're familiar with, I will say it made the logistics much easier. We had someone on the ground helping us, as you know, Sandra was there and she was helping us organize different things and book all of the restaurants and help with the accommodations and all of that. And that was so handy. And then because we were so familiar with it. So I would recommend that for a lot of people for their first retreat is picking a place that they're familiar with, or absolutely going, like you were suggesting, going there ahead of time. And then thinking about your target audience, everybody was coming from the States or Canada, and we thought, oh, Mexico's perfect, because yes, would we have loved to take you all back to Bali, which is also a special place in our heart, but for a 3 day retreat, you know, it's making you guys travel 24 hours doesn't really work.
Yeah, exactly.
So I love that. That was such great advice. So to bring it back into the business side of things, in your opinion, how does a retreat benefit or fit into a product ladder? So this could be using the example of your business or advice that you would like to provide someone else.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea and a great addition, and can really fit with any type of business. Like at first when I was thinking, does it really fit with design and marketing? Like the more I researched it, there's a lot of people in design and marketing, and especially coaching, and like in all industries who are hosting retreats. And especially when a lot of us work online, like it's really nice to have that in-person aspect. And if this really serves as like a high ticket or like a VIP kind of experience, that you're charging more money for. So it would be like on the higher end of your product ladder. And maybe it's like you host a retreat once a year or twice a year, or even if you don't travel abroad, like you can host a day event or workshop. Like mm-hmm. there's a lot of businesses that host events, and that's something that like then you become known for in the industry as well too, right? Something that people mm-hmm. look forward to. And, or it can be like in addition to your, to a program, like Scale with Purpose Mastermind, for example. Like there's so many amazing masterminds that you just go through and do everything remotely. And it's so nice to be able to add in that extra like little retreat where you all get to meet in person when you're working so closely with people for an extended period of time. And you can add in like, add in something like a retreat. It's just so much added value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will say that I feel like there was an energetic shift with the connections between you and the other women inside yeah. of the, like when we got back on the remote calls, when we got back on the Zoom calls, there was a different energy. And yeah. I really love that. And I really think that a good mastermind program, when it's extended, like this is a 6-month program. I've been in a year long program with retreats, and those retreats are where you really make the bonds, the connections. And I think me as your coach, I was even able to get to know you on a deeper level and get to know your business on a deeper level, which helps me coach you better. And yeah. I think it's, you know, it was just such a, important aspect that I didn't even realize how important it was, because this was the first time we've run the mastermind. And now I'm so glad we did it. I mean, we are the Bucket List Bombshells. We had to do a travel. We had to do a travel piece, right? And it just became this really beautiful event. And I'm so glad that we did do it. And I thought what you said about the product ladder was so fitting. I think that it's a high ticket offer, like you described, and it can be added as an additional income stream. And you don't have to host it outside of the country. You can host a retreat locally or day events or different things like that. And I think it just positions you as well as a leader and expert when you are, you know, presenting and hosting and running a retreat. So I love that. That was great advice. And kind of to get into the sales process, and for those who are curious, can you walk us through what that looks like? And for example, say how many months should we be planning to market our retreat? And then what does the sales process look like?
Yeah. So for me, the first thing I did was poll my audience on Instagram, and I just asked them some questions about a retreat. Like, this is something I want to offer. Where would you want to go? How long would you want it to be? And then after I had like quite a bit of information on that, I used that to start crafting like my experience, who I was going to be targeting it to. I started to put together a little bit of a schedule, started creating my sales page, and then I created a wait list, which so far, I think from the waitlist, we had four people join on right away from the waitlist. And it's just like a little bit of a special feeling when you're on a waitlist with someone, and they're all my past clients and like my design and marketing business. And they're just so excited to have an opportunity to like get a little bit of a better deal, be on a waitlist, like join something before it's like launched to the public. So I think it's a nice idea to use a waitlist as part of your sales strategy. And then launching your sales page and I have a section on there where you can either fill out the application form to join us if you're ready to join, or you can book a discovery call with me to like ask any questions. So I think because it is like a higher ticket offer and people are going to be traveling and booking time off work, like sometimes they have, you know, special questions or requests. So I think it is nice to offer, a discovery call. And I just like made up a booking link on Calendly, like super easy. And then, yeah, I start chatting with people. They start filling out the form. They let me know if they want to pay in full, pay a deposit or a payment plan. And I just set that up like on the back end in, 17 Hats is the system that I use. And, in terms of, how far away you should plan, I think depends on a few things with the retreat. So like a day retreat, you can, if you're just hosting like a day retreat in your hometown or a couple hours away, you can maybe put that together and plan it like a month in advance, so like a month or 2 months. A weekend like a getaway retreat, maybe like 3 months or so, like by the time you book an Airbnb or a venue and, you know, organize things for that. But then anything that's like 4 to 7 days, I think you need at least 6 months to plan or longer. Like some people book retreats a year in advance, like start planning a year out. So I would say at least 6 months. And that gives you more time to market it and promote it as well, but also gives people time to like book time off work, you know, plan for childcare and things like that if they need to. So I think those are like good kind of good timelines to follow.
And what about in your experience booking a venue, how far, I say in a different country, how far in advance do you find that you have to do that?
So again, it's all going to depend on the venue that you're, that you're choosing. Sometimes this can be like planning a wedding. Like you have
I was curious.
Like you have to plan like 2 years in advance for some places that are really popular. So the place that I'm taking everyone is called Ojala Hotel, and it's a really cute boutique hotel in Antigua, Guatemala. And they book, because we booked the entire hotel for ourselves, we had to find a week in their schedule where they didn't have any bookings because they didn't want to have to like cancel bookings that they already had. So we were about 9 months out when I booked that to find a space, a 4-day space that was, the hotel was fully open in their schedule. So it just depends like how many people are coming, how many rooms you need to book, the size of your venue. Like if you're booking an Airbnb, you can usually find them like in a shorter time frame. But if you're connecting like with a hotel or like a retreat venue, it's usually a little further in advance. So I would say like, again, at least 6 months, maybe 8 months.
So interesting. Cause I've only done the Airbnb route because again, we wanted to create a more intimate experience and we have a smaller group. But I know that friends and other people in my industry there and like yourself are booking out hotels. So I always get curious about how far in advance, you have to do something like that. So thank you for sharing that. I'm sure that people had that question. And going back to, you mentioned, kind of touched on this, adding high ticket offers. So this is going to be higher price points. I know that I've seen a really wide range of price points for retreats. So what did the decision-making process look like for you in terms of pricing your retreat?
So this has changed a lot for me from when I used to host retreats in my health and wellness business to now. I've also since then learned a lot about business and pricing and how things work in the entrepreneurial world. So I feel like I'm going about it a little bit better this way or this time. I will say like my first retreat that I did abroad was in Nicaragua, was for 5 days. It was the most amazing thing I've ever done, but I also like made no money. So then I think to myself, like, what if it could have been the most amazing thing I ever done and I made money on it, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the sweet spot. So that's what I'm trying to do now. And I did a lot of research into this as well and talked to some other retreat leaders to see like what the going like profit margins usually are. And it kind of, again, depends like if you're advertising like a luxury experience or like budget travel, right? But typically the average is like, if you can do your best to factor in all of your expenses, like first you need to figure out like what you're having included with the retreat and like what you're paying for and what the attendees are going to pay for. Like you typically don't cover their flights. If you're going to include like airport transportation for them or like what meals are included or drinks, activities, all that kind of stuff, figure out all everything that you're going to be paying for and also include your fees in this. So this is what I did wrong in the past. I would be like, what's it going to cost me for each person? And I would just like charge that. And then it's like, oh, wait, I have to pay for my flights, my whatever, right? So then that's added on. So include that in all of your expenses. That way your costs are covered. And then whatever that comes out to, add 40% at least is what people are saying. So at least 40% on top of that. Then if there is anything like little extra things that pop up that you need to pay for, you have a little bit of extra money there and it's not like taking out of your profits, it's still going to leave room for you to profit.
Yeah, that is so on point. And so what does a typical profit margin for a retreat look like? Is that the 40%, or you said the 40% was added into the expense line?
Yeah. So that would be what you charge. So Yeah. So adding 40% on top of that, mm-hmm. on top of the cost would be mm-hmm. like what you charge people.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you can charge is like another like 30 to 40% on top of that. So then that would be your profit margin.
Mm, right. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. That's I got you. So we got our real expenses. I'll just break it down for everybody. We've got their real expenses. So let's say those are like $500. And then we add in an additional 40% of expenses to make sure that, let's say 50%, because it'll be easy for me to calculate. But so that's an additional $250. So it costs $750 per person for the retreat. Right. Where else? And so if we're going to charge another, you said 30 to 40% on top of that. Okay. So then the 30 to 40% would be our profit margins. And of course the total still has to come and cover your expenses, which I was including in that right. expense line item. Yep. Amazing. Okay. So we're looking at like 30 to 40% profit margins. That's fantastic, because back like when I knew people hosting in Bali, their profit margins were so slim. And I think they were doing maybe what you were doing in the beginning, maybe not considering their costs or maybe not even adding extra, like your time is also valuable. Your knowledge, we're going to talk a little bit about how you show up as a leader. I want you guys to be charging for that as well, for your presence essentially, and for your leadership.
And your time and your trust, like people trust, like, especially if you've been to a place before, like a lot of the people in my audience know that I spent like close to 2 years living in Guatemala. So they know that I'm planning it in a town where I lived, and they trust that I'm going to pick like good places, good activities, good restaurants and things like that. And they're excited to like come and be a part of that.
Amazing. Yeah. And I completely agree. And I think that really has to be taken into consideration with your pricing model. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I think that was spot on.
Important.
Yeah, I think that was totally spot on. So then kind of to get into that leadership role, and as we're wrapping up here, I have a couple more questions. And what I want to ask you is, as a leader and a host of the retreat, in your experience, what are some of the best practices or tips and tricks or something that you would tell someone who is hosting their first retreat and how they can show up as that leader?
Yeah, so plan in advance is super important, because when you plan in advance and you have time to look over everything, to weigh all your options, to figure out your expenses, for me personally, I feel more confident when I have the time and the strategy and the operations and everything like figured out. I feel more confident. Also like building hype. So again, this kind of comes in with like planning in advance. The more time you have to build hype, is also going to help with like the sales and the marketing, getting people excited about it, right? And also attend retreats. Now you're going to say, I'm just saying this because I'm hosting retreat, but you don't have to come on my retreat, but just attending retreats in general. Like before I hosted retreats, I attended a lot of retreats, and I still go on a lot of retreats because I enjoy it. But that also will help you get ideas for what you like and don't like and what you want to do in your own retreats. And another tip is just don't overpack the schedule. So I've done this in the past. Tip. Yeah. Especially for like, if it has like a health and wellness, focus in any way, because a lot of times people going to those types of retreats want some like downtime and quiet time or reflecting time. Right. And so if everything is like overpacked, then they're going to leave like feeling like a whirlwind, like what just happened, you know? And we want to overpack the schedule because we want to make it valuable, and we want to do this, and we want to do that, and we get excited about it. So that's something I see a lot of people doing as well, is just overpacking the schedule. So just keep it simple and include the important things that are going to bring your audience or your attendees, like I said, from that journey, from where they're starting to the outcome that you want to bring them to.
Yeah, I'm so glad you circled back to that, because I did want to touch on just as you, what was coming up for me as you were speaking was that it's all about what you want them to walk away with. So I think it's less about these like every single activity or every single workshop or every single thing that you can pack in. And it's what are going to be the most impactful things that you can do for someone on this retreat to get them to the result that you're seeking. And so, for example, if you're hosting health and wellness, retreats, usually people are coming on those and they are wanting more downtime. They are wanting more self-care time. They are wanting relaxation, and maybe they want to learn new mindset tricks or tools, but then giving and allowing them to integrate that is actually going to leave them probably with the results more than teaching them, say, a bunch of, you know, having a bunch of workshops on mindset tools. And it's like, teach the ones that are actually going to get them the results, focus on those, and then allow them to integrate on the retreat. It was the piece of advice that you and the other woman had shared with us, having more space. Yeah, having more integration time between each of the workshops. So we were teaching a concept, and yes, we had group discussions, and we had, you know, we dived into it. And then the biggest request from you ladies was to have even more space in between to sit with your thoughts, to journal about how you would integrate it, how to maybe create a plan. So it's great, again, listening to your audience, what they want, but that was really eye-opening for me. Cause also I think, you know, we packed in the schedule, but we realized too, that there is this really powerful element of integration that needs to be padded into to retreats as well.
Yeah, agreed.
Amazing. And one last question I have for you is, when you're on these retreats, do you have a team member assist you, or do you rely on venue staff?
Yeah, that's a good question. And again, I think it is going to depend on your venue and type of retreat and things like that. For me, I've always had retreats where there is support provided from the venue. But like, yeah, it's just going to depend. Like our retreat in Mexico with you guys, we were at the Airbnb and we didn't need anybody there, and it was nice. Like that's a nice intimate experience, right? But for my retreat in Guatemala, we're going to have like breakfast included in the morning. So there's going to be people serving, you know, we're going to have like room service and stuff like that, 'cause it's in a hotel. So I think it just depends, but it is funny because a lot of my team members in my business, like my web designer, my brand designer, and copywriter, and SEO specialist, they kind of want to come on the retreat because we are having a lot of our past clients interested in joining, and they kind of want to meet them because they work so closely with our clients as well. So I don't know if we're going to if they'll end up joining, and maybe we'll do some kind of like I don't know, workshop around design and marketing as well, but we're still planning. And that's like the beautiful thing as well. Like you can put out some things that you like our timeline. If you look on our retreat sales page, you can see some things we have included, and it's rough because I also, when people join, I want to send them out a survey and say, like, what else would you like to see? Like, do you want to have more downtime? Do you want to have business workshops? Cause it is going to be entrepreneurial based. And like see what people want to do, and then we can add in anything else.
I love that. Tailored. Yeah, tailored experience. Yeah, I think that I've seen retreats run where I've been an assistant on a retreat when I used to have my service-based business, and my client would host her retreats in Bali, and I believe it was at the W Hotel, and I would go. Or it was for one of them. I was working with her for one time. She had a retreat. And so I was technically on the ground because I lived in Bali, and I helped her with a lot of the remote pre-planning, a lot of the the management, the members would come to me with the questions. And then I did I didn't attend the retreat, but I went for one of the workshops she needed me to host and just be like her, basically her right-hand woman, you know, bringing her what it was ever needed. It was a very high-end luxury retreat. So again, it goes back to what type of retreat it was. And so the concept was making sure that there was a very hands-on experience for her members coming. So I was their go-to person. I don't think I had to do that much in person, but I remember the amount of questions I would get. I think there was 20 of them, and they were her long-term coaching clients, and there was a retreat included in their coaching package. And I already knew them from already managing them on the back end. But I remember that being a big part of my role. So I was curious how, you know, these are more, I guess, one-time retreats. And this, again, going back to the target audience, it was a very luxury hands-on experience, and I had to field a lot. And so I was just curious how that that your opinion on that as well. It's, I mean, it's a whole, you could have a whole service-based business off of being a retreat assistant or planner, I really think.
That's so cool. Maybe that's something else I could do in the future when I have more time. I love planning and organizing retreats and hosting and attending. Retreats are just so fun.
Oh my gosh, so fun. 10 years from now, we'll be creating your, like in the 10-year plan, you'll be like not even a website designer. You'll be like a retreat, I don't know, connoisseur or something. Yeah. I love it. I love it. So as we're wrapping up, I like to ask this to all of our guests. As you know, this is the Freedom Filled Life podcast. So question for you is, how has starting your own business led to more freedom and fulfillment in your life?
This is a really big question. And I feel like I could say so much to this. That I don't even know where to start, because starting my own business has literally changed my life in so many amazing ways. And like, yes, it ebbs and flows and there's ups and downs and pros and cons, but I can't imagine not having my own business now. Mm. And the ability to travel, create more freedom and flexibility in my life, and just like in enjoying my day to day, like having the time to enjoy the little things in my day to day life. Whereas before, when I was working a full-time corporate job and like trying to study nutrition on the side and teach yoga in the evening, and like I thought I was like doing things that I loved then because I was like sprinkling them in, but I had no time and I was stressed out and burnt out. And it wasn't until like I quit my full-time job and made those things my business that I really found like the joy in life that I enjoy now. And my business has changed and evolved and grown so much. And you know, that's the beauty of it as well. Like, we are always growing and developing personally and professionally, and our businesses can change, and nothing is set in stone. And it's nice now that I do have the time in my business that I can do other things that I enjoy, like now hosting a retreat. So
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing. It's been just such an honor and joy to see you flourish in your business this year as your mentor. And And so for those who want to connect with you after this podcast, where can they find you? Can you let us know where to connect with you online?
Yeah. So my two places I am on social media is LinkedIn and Instagram. Instagram is my business page, virtuel.balance. And on LinkedIn, you can just find me by Shea Muller. We do have a business page on LinkedIn as well, but they really don't do very, the business pages, I mean, this is a different topic. The business pages on LinkedIn don't really seem to do as well as like the personal profiles.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's me on there on LinkedIn. And then we'll link the retreat page for you guys as well, if you just want to like take it out, take a peek and have a look at that. And my retreat planner will give to you guys as well. It's virtualbalance.com/bucketlist. If you want to download that and get all of my tips and advice and my outline for starting to plan your first retreat.
I know, I might need to get my hands on that for our next retreat. I love it. And I know that you had a special offer for your retreat for Bucketlist Bombshells members, as well as any Freedom Filled Life podcast listeners. Can you share a little bit about that? And maybe also just give us another rundown of your retreat.
Yeah, sure. So my early bird pricing goes till May 31st, but I'm going to extend that to June 30th. So you guys can have an extra month to get the early bird pricing. And when you fill out the form on my retreat page to join us, just put in bucket list as your discount code. I ask if you have a discount code, just use bucket list. And I'll make sure to give you guys the early bird pricing. And so, yeah, just another, like a little rundown of it. Basically, it is a health and wellness retreat for entrepreneurs. So whether you work online or in person, it's just a space for you to get out of your day to day, connect with other entrepreneurs, feel inspired and motivated in your business again, and focus some time on you, because in your business, we always do give and do, right? And so I want you to take time to relax and reflect on how far you've come, and maybe think up some big ideas and bounce them off of the other entrepreneurs there. And yeah, give back to yourself in the amazing town of Antigua and Guatemala. It's a great little digital nomad hotspot as well. Lots of cute cafes and cobblestone streets. It's like a little fairy tale town. So
it yeah. is. It is. I have not been back. That was the first place that Cassie and I traveled to. Technically, it was Lake Atitlan, right, yes. but we were only there for less than a week. And then we settled into Antigua. It's our first time traveling together, working online. We were doing that in Mexico, but that was such a base for us. This was our first official work online and travel destination. So it holds a special place in my heart as well. And I would love to make my way back. And I love hearing about Antigua from you and all of the joy that it's brought you. So I think it's a really cool place for you to host it.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. I'm excited.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here with me today, Shaya. And thank you to all of the Freedom Filled Life podcast listeners. Thank you for being here. I hope you have a fantastic day and I will see you in another episode. Bye for now.
Bye.
Hey there. My name is Cassie Torresillas. And 8 years ago, I launched my own online graphic design studio and booked a one-way ticket to travel the world in pursuit of my own freedom filled life. I now own a multi-million dollar online business, The Bucket List Bombshells, teaching other women how to do the same, alongside my best friend, co-founder, and podcast co-host, Shay Brown. Around here, we believe that your crazy dreams aren't crazy, and that it's time for you to start creating the life and career that you dream about too. Whether you want to travel and work remotely, or simply just want to be your own boss, it's possible to live out your passion and purpose without just scraping by. We know that this path isn't always easy to navigate though, so we're here to help you. From making a career change, starting and growing your own business, balancing life and business, and most importantly, pursuing your own freedom-filled life. Get ready for real, relatable stories and advice on your journey towards something more. We serve it up BFF style. So pour yourself that third cup of coffee and let's dive in. Welcome to the Freedom Filled Life Podcast.